There is a moment every loudspeaker engineer knows. You have a woofer cone in your hand. You push it with your thumb, slowly, deliberately, and you feel what the suspension gives you. A long, smooth, linear travel, maybe 15 millimeters each direction. Then you push harder. And somewhere around 18, 20 millimeters, something changes. The compliance goes non-linear. The spider or the surround hits its physical limit. The motor's bell product, the product of flux density and voice coil length in the gap, begins to fall as windings exit the field. What started as a controlled second-order system is now generating harmonics at 2, 3, 4 times the drive frequency. You wanted bass. You got distortion. This episode is about the engineering problem of producing accurate, deep, low-distortion bass reproduction from a moving coil driver in a real enclosure. It is one of the most constraint-laden problems in transducer design, and after more than a century of work, it is still not fully solved. Start with the electromechanical equivalent circuit. A moving coil driver is a second-order resonant system. The moving mass MM, the mechanical compliance CMs of the suspension, and the total mechanical resistance RMs determine the resonant frequency FS. It is proportional to the square root of 1 over the product of mass and compliance. For a typical woofer, this sits somewhere between 20 and 60 Hz. Below FS output rolls off at 12 decibels per octave. This is a hard physical limit, not an amplifier problem. Increasing cone area raises acoustic output because radiation resistance scales with the square of the area. But a larger cone at the same frequency requires either more moving mass or a stiffer suspension, and both have consequences. More mass lowers FS, which is useful, but it also reduces sensitivity and increases the inductive reactance of the voice coil at higher frequencies. Thiel and Small formalized this in the early 1970s. Their system of small signal parameters, QTS the total Q factor, V as the equivalent compliance volume, and FS gives the engineer a compact set of quantities from which to predict system behavior in any given enclosure type. The critical insight was that driver and enclosure behave as a coupled filter. The enclosure volume is acoustically equivalent to an added compliance in series with the driver's mechanical compliance, and the combination determines where the system's high-pass corner lies. What Thiel Small does not capture is what happens when the signal gets large. That is where things become genuinely difficult. The Thiel Small parameters assume small signal, linear operation. Real woofers under load violate all three principal linearity conditions simultaneously. First, bell of X. The bell product, the motor strength, varies as a function of cone position X. When the voice coil moves outside the gap, the fraction of winding in the uniform part of the magnetic field decreases. Bell drops. The driver becomes less efficient at the extremes of its travel. A non-symmetric Biot curve, the common case when the coil is wound asymmetrically around the rest position, generates even order harmonics, predominantly second harmonic distortion. This asymmetry is measurable and audible, particularly on sustained bass notes. Second, KMs of X. The suspension compliance is inherently non-linear with displacement. The spider and surround together act like a spring with a hardening characteristic. As excursion increases, compliance decreases. This generates both even and odd harmonic distortion and, critically, intermodulation distortion when multiple bass frequencies are present simultaneously. Third, lay of X and I. The voice coil inductance varies both with position, because reluctance changes as the coil moves relative to the pole piece, and with current, because of magnetic saturation. The inductance modulation creates what is sometimes called reluctance force, an additional drive force not accounted for in the simple piston model. This is the mechanism responsible for much of the third harmonic distortion observed in woofers at moderate drive levels. Then there is cone breakup. This is distinct from the three large signal nonlinearities. It is a structural resonance problem. The Thiel-Small framework assumes the cone is a rigid piston. It is not. At some frequency above the woofer's intended operating range, the cone begins to flex. Standing waves form across the cone surface. Different regions of the cone move out of phase with each other. The result is a ragged, high-Q resonant peak, often 20 to 30 decibels above the intended response, radiating from a cone area that is simultaneously vibrating in multiple modes. If this peak falls within the crossover transition band, it is a serious problem. It excites the cabinet and produces exactly the kind of coloration and resonance that is impossible to equalize away cleanly, because the resonance is mechanical, not electrical. The sealed enclosure is the simplest case. The enclosed air volume adds in series with the driver compliance. It raises FS and tightens QTC, total Q in the closed box, which controls the transient response. The critically damped alignment QTC of approximately 0.5 gives maximally flat group delay at the cost of earlier roll-off. The Butterworth alignment at QTC of 0.707 is the familiar compromise. The sealed box has one important property that the alternatives lack. Cone excursion increases monotonically as frequency falls below resonance. The driver is always the limiting element. There are no enclosure-induced excursion peaks to worry about. The base reflex enclosure introduces a Helmholtz resonator, a port or duct whose resonant frequency, FB, is set close to FS. Near FB, the port takes over acoustic output, and the cone excursion actually drops. This is the fundamental advantage of the reflex design. It allows the driver to work at lower excursion for the same output level in the 40 to 80 Hz region, which directly reduces large signal nonlinear distortion in that band. Below FB, the port unloads the driver. Cone excursion rises sharply at 24 decibels per octave, steeper than the sealed box. An infrasonic high-pass filter is therefore not optional in a reflex system, it is a structural necessity. Without it, a brief subsonic test tone or record warp can drive the cone to mechanical destruction while producing almost no audible output. The transmission line enclosure takes a fundamentally different approach. The rear wave from the driver is directed into a long, usually folded, damped duct. The duct length is chosen such that the rear wave, attenuated and phase-shifted by the filling material, emerges from the open terminus in phase with the front wave at the tuning frequency. The effective speed of sound in the filled duct is lower than in free air, which means the physical length needed for a given tuning frequency is shorter than a naive calculation would suggest. The quarter wavelength at 30 Hz in free air is nearly 3 meters. With appropriate filling, a duct of 1 to 1.5 meters can achieve similar tuning. The transmission line does not produce the sharp below resonance unloading of the reflex, giving it a more controlled excursion curve and lower distortion at very low frequencies. The price is manufacturing complexity and significant sensitivity to the exact choice, density, and distribution of the damping material. When a woofer is mounted in an enclosure, it exerts reaction forces on the cabinet walls. The wall panels vibrate. They radiate sound. This secondary radiation is coherent with the drive signal and typically arrives at the listener slightly later because the wall has to be driven to resonance by the internal pressure wave. The time delay depends on panel mass and stiffness and can range from a few milliseconds to tens of milliseconds. Panel resonances are the most audible and the hardest to eliminate. The first bending mode of a typical medium-density fiberboard side panel might occur at 150 to 300 Hz, well into the audible range for a woofer and directly in the crossover region. Damping strategies include increased panel mass, increased stiffness via bracing, and constrained layer damping using a viscoelastic layer bonded between two structural layers. Concrete, slate, and granite have been used in audiophile products specifically because their high density and low internal Q convert vibration energy to heat efficiently. The non-resonant ideal is a cabinet that does not move. Asymptotically, this means infinite stiffness and infinite mass, both physically impossible. The practical engineering answer is to make the first panel resonance fall where its acoustic output is most benign. For Bell of X, the long voice coil, short gap configuration ensures the Bell product stays approximately constant over a wide excursion range because the coil always has many windings in the gap regardless of position. The cost is reduced motor efficiency. Copper rings or Faraday shields placed on the pole piece reduce inductance variation by providing a low impedance path for eddy currents, linearizing the inductance. For KMs of X, suspension geometry is everything. A progressively wound spider can produce a more linear compliance curve over a wider excursion range. Dual spiders can extend the linear range further by symmetrizing the restoring force. For cone breakup, material stiffness to mass ratio is the key parameter. Beryllium has the highest specific stiffness of any practical cone material, roughly 4 to 5 times that of aluminium. Paper remains competitive for its combination of high internal damping and reasonable stiffness. The damping coefficient of well-treated paper suppresses the breakup resonance even when it occurs. The distinction is between a cone that avoids breakup by pushing the mode above audibility and one that tolerates breakup by damping it when it occurs. Accelerometer-based feedback systems mount a small accelerometer on the cone itself. The accelerometer signal is compared to the input signal in a feedback loop. The difference drives the amplifier to cancel distortion. This works well at moderate drive levels. The limitation is loop delay. At 20 Hz, a cycle is 50 milliseconds. A system with 5 milliseconds of loop delay is losing a tenth of a cycle, which is workable. At 100 Hz, the same delay is half a cycle, and the loop contributes instability rather than correction. Distortion prediction, or feed forward, is an alternative. If the nonlinear transfer functions BL of XKMs of X and Li of X are measured and stored, a DSP system can pre-distort the input signal so that after passing through the nonlinear driver, the output is approximately linear. This is deterministic. It requires no sensor on the cone. It works on a model. The limitation is that the driver's characteristics change with temperature, with excursion history, and with age. A model built at 20 degrees Celsius is not accurate at 80 degrees after 30 minutes of high-power operation. The most sophisticated implementations combine both approaches, a feed-forward model for the slow, systematic non-linearities plus a feedback loop for the residual error. None of this makes the physics disappear. Electronic correction cannot extend the base response of a sealed box below its natural roll-off without simultaneously increasing cone excursion, and more excursion means more nonlinear distortion. You can have deeper base or lower distortion. In a given driver and enclosure, you cannot simultaneously optimize both by turning a knob in DSP. The moving coil woofer is one of the most over-constrained engineering problems in consumer electronics. The designer is simultaneously trying to minimize FS maximize linear excursion, keep bell flat, keep KMs linear, push cone breakup above 500 Hz, minimize lay variation, build an enclosure that does not ring, and achieve all of this at a cone excursion that increases as the square of the lowered frequency target. Every loudspeaker manufacturer who has been serious about this problem has arrived at the same conclusion. There is no free variable. Every improvement extracts a cost somewhere else in the parameter space. The low distortion woofer that extends to 20 Hz in a sealed box is large, heavy, and inefficient. The compact reflex box with excellent measured efficiency is vulnerable below its port tuning frequency. The transmission line has the most controlled behavior of all three topologies, but requires a cabinet volume that rewards dedicated listening rooms over urban apartments. The search for perfect bass is not over. It is, if anything, getting more interesting as the computation available for real-time motor modeling increases and new materials push the breakup frequency envelope. But the fundamental constraints have not changed since Thiel published his analysis in 1971. The bass is out there. The physics just make you work for it.